for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Thursday evening, August the 28th, first service, the Labor Day weekend teaching and deliverance seminar being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Tommy Cook, Tulsa, Oklahoma, is the teacher of the evening.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Well, it's a pleasure to have Brother Steve and his wife with us and have them back again. It's just us. It's just like they're coming home when they come here. And Brother Cook and Brother Bill Goodson from over in the Tulsa area, and the blessing and the anointing that rest upon them and their ministry. And I appreciate them, and we appreciate them here.
Amen.
They're just part of family around here.
That's right.
If they haven't found that out by now, why, they're badly deceived. Mm-hmm. Because when they come here, his wife and his son and Cook and Goodson both, we expect them just to be at home here.
Amen.
Because, and this is home, because they don't have a regular church to go to like Brother Harris has at home, see. So he's got a place he calls home. But we call this home here.
Amen.
For them.
Amen. Amen.
We count a privilege to be able to recommend their ministries around the nation and across the world. Brother Harris is busy, busy, busy.
Yes.
Every time he's got more places to go than he can ever get to. And appreciate you taking time to always come here and be a blessing here and to help in the ministry here, because we consider him and the Cooks and the Goodsons and Brother Steve part of the family here.
Amen.
Because we can't do this by ourselves.
That's
we
right.
can't do it. And then this family reaches out to the Goldens and to the others from here. As part of the family, we reach out and to minister to others. Now, I'd better give a couple announcements here. I almost forgot. Breakfast will be at 8 o'clock. Following breakfast, about 9 o'clock or thereafter, we'll have prayer meeting. Now, Brother Doc will be down here 5 o'clock or so in the morning. The place will be open. Anybody wants to come and pray, it'll be open. And come and join him. I'll be up awful late, and so I won't get down here that early. But some of the rest of you can, because you can go home next week and sleep and rest up. Now, I don't say Doc can, but some of the rest of you can. So come on down here and be an intercessor and pray in behalf of not only this place, but the move of the Lord across the nation. And that his spirit will be a revelation to men and women that Jesus is Lord, and that he's calling us to a time of repentance. And there's no better place than to start it right here.
That's right.
To be an intercessor. He's calling intercessors. So come and pray in the morning and be an intercessor here. And then morning service will start. We'll run the prayer meeting. We'll run into the morning service. And then the day will just run on from there until late tomorrow night. Okay? All right. Tommy Cook.
The Lord bless you as you minister
the word to us.
Praise the Lord. Well, let's stand, please. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Our Father, in the name of Jesus, we bless you tonight. We thank you, God, that you've brought us together. We've come together in your name. And Lord, we thank you for the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for that precious Son, our Redeemer, our Lamb, Lord, our Savior. We thank you, Lord, that we've come to know you, Lord, but yet we want to know you much more. And God, we pray that you'll open our hearts and give us receptive spirits and an open mind and a teachable spirit to receive of thy word. Father, we bless the ministers that are here, and we bless the people of God. And Father, we thank you for everyone you've brought tonight to this place, Lord. We bless Brother and Sister Miller, Lord. We bless the campground, Father. And we pray the will, the wishes, and the desires of the Father shall be wrought and done in this at this place, Lord, at this time. And God, we believe it will be. And Father, we thank you for the deliverance and the healings and all that will be done, Lord, and wrought in your name. And Father, we thank you and we give you praise and glory ahead of time. We give you the honor, Lord. We give you the praise and the glory, for thou art worthy of it, Lord. And we bless you, Jesus. We love you tonight, Lord. Bless your people. And again, bless the ministers, O God. Those that are hurting tonight, God, touch them tonight, Lord. Minister life to them tonight, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother Miller. Hallelujah. Turn to Matthew 24 in the Word of God, and let's look at a couple of scriptures together tonight. Matthew chapter 24, praise the Lord. In verse 15, just two scriptures here. Matthew 24 and verse 15. Jesus said, "When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet." So here's Jesus quoting the prophet Daniel, the greatest prophet quoting the prophet Daniel. And he said, "When you see this abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand." Verse 16. "Then let them which be in Judea flee to the mountains." Now skip down to verse 20. Here's the verse we want to look at tonight. "But pray ye..." How many believe that we're going to make it through prayer in this hour? Amen. How many believe you're not going to make it if you don't pray? Amen. "Pray you therefore, pray that ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day." Well, we know in the natural that in the winter time it brings in the cold. It brings in the cold wind, the cold rain, the snow, and the sleet. Anybody like to travel in winter besides Bill Goodson? It seems like we get in the Wisconsin and Michigan during the winters. All the other prophets, many of them go south. But, a few guys go the other way. But anyway, Jesus said, "Pray here that your flight be not in the winter." Now, when we're talking about a flight, we're not talking about flying in airplanes or in helicopters. But pray your flight be not in the winter. What flight are we taking? We've got to go up higher in God. Isn't that right, brethren? And we know that if you're cold in your soul, if you have winter in you, you're not going to make it to the mountains. Isn't that right? You're not going to make it up very high if you're cold within. Now turn back to there in that chapter. Look back in verse, 12. Look in verse 12. Here's winter right here. Jesus is speaking of the end of the age, isn't he? And he said, "Because what? Iniquity, lawlessness, rebellion shall abound." Where? In the bank or in the out there? No, in the church. We know it's out there. Isn't that right? But Jesus said, "Because lawlessness shall abound, the love," and that's agape, "the love of many shall wax cold." Now Jesus said in Revelation, "I want you either hot or what? Cold." And he said, if you're in the middle, he said, "I'll spew you or vomit you out of my mouth." Now, here's what I see in this verse. At the end of the age, people that's known the love of God, I see a hate campaign coming into people where they've left the love. And how many know the opposite of love is what? Hate. Amen? How many know iniquity will cause us to lose that first love? Amen? It'll cause us to lose that zeal that we've had for God. Isn't that right? And so here Jesus said, because of iniquity or lawlessness or rebellion that will abound, the love of many shall wax cold. All right, so he said, pray that your flight be not in the winter. So that means we've got to pray. How many know winter can be a miserable time? It can be, people freeze to death. It's hard to travel. As I said, you're restricted, especially when it's icy and snow and the wind is blowing. I remember I was in Janesville, Wisconsin last winter. And they have a great big large flag right by the restaurant where I ate one night. And the wind chill was 50-some below, and that flag was straight out from that north wind. And believe me, it was cold just going two blocks to the motel. So it doesn't take much winter, to get you looking for some cover or coat or something when you're cold. So, but Jesus is saying something to us that we must not allow winter to come in to us. Now turn to the Song of Solomon, please. Let's go there and look at a couple scriptures. In the Song of Solomon, chapter 2, first of all, we'll look there. Hallelujah. Chapter 2. Didn't you appreciate the prophetic word that went out to the, tonight? Hallelujah. Amen. I saw Jack looking around and I thought maybe that angel might be in. In chapter 2, verse 10. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 10. My beloved spake and said unto me, I believe he, and rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Look at verse 11 now. For lo, the winter is past. Now we know there are times we go through winter. We know there are times we go through difficult times in our life. I know we don't go by feeling, but like Brother Golden said, it's sure good sometime to feel it though, isn't it? Amen. And it's still better felt than telt, maybe. But lo, the winter is past, and the rain is over and gone. Praise the Lord. And so many times we can look back and we can say that. Those difficult times that we went through, especially testing times, and you don't always understand what's happening. Anybody been there lately? Raise your hands. Amen? Okay, good. Now, notice what he said in verse 12. The flowers appear on the earth. Well, what time do the flowers usually come on the earth? Springtime. Amen? So we're coming out of winter. We're coming in the springtime when the flowers begin to appear on the earth. And notice it's the time of the singing of birds has come. And the voice, notice this, the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. That's the turtle dove. How many know the turtle dove is the Holy Ghost?
Amen.
Amen? And notice what it says there. It says that the turtle is heard in our land.
Hallelujah.
Amen? Hallelujah. How many know that we've got to have a sharp ear for hearing in this hour? Isn't that right? Now, how many know that if we straighten up our walk, I mean, oh, God sends the prophets when your wall's crooked. Study the book of Amos, the plumb line. God set him down among the people. God never sends a prophet many times, not always, I'll put it that way, when everything's going good. God sends a prophet when things are out of what? Isn't that right? In the book of Judges, the Bible said in chapter 6 that Israel did evil in the sight of God. And God sent the enemy, or Amalek, in, and as well as Midian, and the others. And for 7 years, Israel was in tribulation. Well, how many know 7 years is a long time? Now, how many know that Midian was east of Sinai? Sinai is where Moses received the law. Isn't that right? And so there, it was east of Sinai, or you see, east of the law, or it was a rebellious bunch of people. And God allowed them to take over God's people for 7 years to control them and manipulate them and so forth. But why did he do that? Because the Bible said that they had refused to obey the voice of God. Amen? Now, it's one thing to hear, but it's another thing to either obey or disobey. Isn't that right, brethren?
Yeah.
Isn't that right? Now, Amos said the time would come that there would be a famine for hearing the words of the law. Isn't that right? Now, there are some people don't hear, but yet there are some people do hear and do not obey. But if we straighten up our walk, amen, God will cause you to hear. Now, it said there when Israel was in bondage 7 years, that God, they cried out to the Lord, and God sent a prophet.
Yes.
Remember that? When they were crying out, they were in trouble. And then God, of course, sent an angel and visited Gideon. So, now, let me show you something here just a minute. Keep your place. Go to Isaiah 6. Let's look at hearing just a second here. Praise the Lord. Isaiah 6. Hallelujah. I mean, I had a few tests before he got here today. Amen. That's why I believe we're going to have a good meeting this time. I mean, you can usually tell when the things start going wrong. Isn't that right? Now, look in chapter 6 of Isaiah. Not that we're magnifying those things, but, you know, you got to be honest. You can't say they're not there when they are. Now, in Isaiah 6, how many know this man saw Jesus high and lifted up, and he said, woe is me. And how many know that coal of fire touched this man's tongue? Isn't that right? This prophet's tongue. Isn't that right? Now, when it touched his tongue, look down here just a minute in verse 7. And he laid it, this seraphim, the burning one, the shining one, it means, laid it upon my mouth, that coal, and said, lo, this has touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is what? Taken away, and thy sin purged. Now, look at verse 8. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord. Now, through purging, we're going to learn the voice of God. Isn't that right, brother? Amen? Hallelujah. By purging. Now, how are we purged? The Bible said we're purged by mercy and truth in Proverbs 16. And so as we yield to the purging and the dealing of God in our life, then we are like the prophet, can begin to hear God. Amen? Praise the Lord. How many know this man was a prophet? Verse 5, he said, whoa. Verse 7, he said, lo. And verse 8, he said, go. Amen? Hallelujah. Hey, don't get into that. I could, but I won't. Turn back now to Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon, chapter 2. Now notice he said, winter is past. The rain is gone. The flowers are coming on the earth. The birds are singing, but especially, he said, the turtle dove. And he's heard in our land. Praise the Lord. I'm glad he said our land because, you know, sometimes I don't always hear too clear, but my brother and sister may hear pretty clear and help me to hear a little better. Amen? I mean, no, we're in it together. We're not in it just by ourselves. Isn't that right? Now, he said the turtle dove. Now, Jesus said one time that we are to be what? Harmless as, come on, doves and wise as serpents. Isn't that right? Now, a dove can only see one thing at a time. It has single vision. And Jesus said that if an eye be single, our whole body shall be full of light. Isn't that right? A dove is swift in flight. Be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. You ever read that? Well, how many know we sometimes may do the opposite? We're not too quick to hear, but we're quick to say things, aren't we? Isn't that right? Amen? How many know a dove will not just roost any place? You see that in when Noah sent out the raven first. You remember that? Type of the old nature. And then the dove went after him. But the raven didn't come back, but the dove came back. And the Bible said he reached out and received him in. How many know you got to reach out to the dove? Isn't that right? And receive him into your bosom. Praise the Lord. Many mistake the fluttering of the wings of a dove for revival, but he wants to land in your land. And in my land. Isn't that right? Amen. But that dove would not roost on that dead flesh, would he? Just any place. Remember he came back in with that olive leaf off the olive tree, which you get olive oil from, which is a type of what? Holy Ghost. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. So the dove would not just roost any place. Now, something else. A dove doesn't have a gallbladder. What does that mean? No bitterness. How many know the Bible said that bitterness will spring up and not only defile us, but defile others? Isn't that right? And a dove will not fight back. That's why Jesus said, be harmless as doves, but wise as serpents. And right here, the song Solomon says to us that this turtle is heard in our land. But the winter's gone, springtime is here. How many know it doesn't take very long to look at a person's face to see if they're in winter or springtime? Isn't that right? You know, you might see icicles on their ears or on their face, but brother, when you got spring, you can see the joy of the Lord within that person. Isn't that right? Praise his name. Hallelujah. So, Jesus said, pray that your flight be not in the winter. Now, look at chapter 4 of Song of Solomon. In verse 16, verse 12, actually he talks about a garden that's enclosed, his sister, a spring shut up, and a fountain sealed. So something's enclosed, something's shut up, and something sealed. Well, how many know if it's that way, you can't hardly get too much out if it's sealed up. Isn't that right? And of course, that's for a purpose, I guess. But look down in verse 15, though he said it is a fountain of gardens, plural, a well of living waters and streams from Lebanon. Now, verse 16, here's the verse I want to come to. He said, awake, O north wind. Now, what's the north wind? It's winter, isn't it? Many times, huh? Cold air, cool air. How many felt that good cool air coming in last night? Amen. Praise the Lord. Felt good, didn't it? Amen. But in about 2 or 3 months, we won't be bragging on too much. But he said, awake, O north wind, and come thou south. We know the south is the warm air. And you bring them together. What you got, brethren? Huh? You got a storm. You got tornadic winds many times. One time, the north wind and the south wind right over Tulsa, and boy, the tornadoes went off every direction. And I stood on my porch and rebuked one of them that I could see not far away. But when the north comes and the south comes, you got a storm. And here he's saying, awake, north wind, and come thou south, and blow where? Upon my garden. Now, in our immaturity, it's our garden. How many know our bodies are the temple of Holy Ghost? Isn't that right? But notice what else was said here, that the spices, this is the fruit, God's nature, God's character, may flow out. Isn't that right? Now, how many know without a blow upon you, there can be no flow or outflow? Isn't that right? First of all, blow upon my garden that the spices, the character, the nature, the substance of God that's in me may flow out. And as Jack prophesied tonight, you can't give out any more than you received in. Isn't that right? That's why we must be open to God. Now, blow upon my garden that the spices may flow out. Let my beloved come, notice now, into his garden. Now look over in chapter 6, just a minute. Chapter 6, verse 11. I went down into the garden of nuts. That's you, and that's me. To see the fruits of the valley. Notice that. Where's the fruits at? In the valley, Jack. And to see whether the vine flourished and the pomegranates budded. Hallelujah. He's coming in. He's coming in the garden of nuts. He's coming in to see the fruit of the valley. Somebody said, well, I don't like valleys. Well, that's where the fruit's going to grow in our life. I don't like it either sometimes, but that's where it's going to grow anyway. Now, back in verse 16 of chapter 4, though, he said, let my beloved come into his garden and notice, eat the, his pleasant fruits. How many know we need to spread a table for God? You know, brethren, God, we know God hears our cry. God hears our petitions. And yet we want God to bless us and bless us. But how many want to set a table for God? How many know God's going to eat only that which is of him, though? That substance, that nature that's within you, he's put in you. But yet we must spread a table and say, God, come and eat. How many know he said in Revelation, I'm standing at the door, I'm knocking, and if you'll open up, I'll come in and sup with you and you with me. Isn't that right? And the word sup just simply means a supper. Right. It's a meal. Hallelujah. We need that intimacy with God. Amen? Praise the Lord. But we need to set him a table. And we can only do that as we allow him to come in us. Praise the Lord. Now, turn to Proverbs 31. 31 of Proverbs in the scripture. And here is a woman. It can be a type of a natural wife, but it's also a type of the church, a virtuous woman. And in chapter 31 of Proverbs, notice one thing. It says here about her. Let's go back to verse 20, actually. Proverbs 31, verse 20. And she stretches out her hand to the poor. So she's reaching out to somebody. How many know we need to reach out to somebody? Amen? How many know people that's in winter can't reach out to nobody, really, and be effective? Now, it says here, she stretches out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reaches forth her hands to the needy. Now, verse 21, she is not afraid of the snow. She's not afraid of winter. Now, I believe Jesus, in Matthew 24, when he said, pray your flight be not in the winter, I believe he was talking about tribulation. Don't you? Hard times coming. And yet this one here, it says she is not afraid of the snow. She's not afraid of winter. She's not afraid of tribulation. For her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. Clothed with the blood. What's going to keep us in tribulation, brother? The blood. Amen? The blood of Jesus. Isn't that right? Look in Revelation 7 a minute. Let's see this. Revelation 7, chapter 7, verse 13. One of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they? And I said to him, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of. You can't come out of something unless you've been in it. Right, Jack?
Right.
These came out of great tribulation, or tribulation the great, or the great affliction, or trouble. Now notice, though, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
Amen. And notice verse 15, therefore they're before the throne of God and serve Him when? Day and night. Where's day and night as? Right here on the earth. There's no night where God the Father is there? And they're serving Him day and night in His temple. And we are the what? Temple of the living God. And He that sits on the throne shall dwell among them. That's where He's at tonight. He's in us. And they'll hunger no more. And I don't believe that's just for bologna sandwiches. I mean, only God can satisfy. Isn't that right? And neither thirst anymore. Of course, you know there are people hungering for things. I mean, truth. There are people in remote areas that are hungering for truth that don't have it. But God, only God can satisfy. And it says, neither thirst anymore, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. Now, it said they came out of what? Great tribulation. They came out of the heat, Jack. They were in the fire. Amen. They weren't just next to it, brother. They was in it. And God said, no more heat.
Hallelujah.
No more fire. No more tribulation. Brother, they'd come through. They'd been purged. Amen. Made white in the blood of Jesus. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Of course, God's going to feed them and take away all the tears and so forth. So we can see here that this woman in Proverbs is not afraid of the snow. She's not afraid of the winter or tribulation for her household. You know, that's a positive statement. Many people can't say that for their household yet. But how many know that we can intercede and believe God for our household? Do you believe it? And God will save us and our household. Hallelujah. We have that promise if we stay faithful to God Almighty. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I heard of a testimony of a man that died, and the mother refused to hear. She refused to come and look at that body of her son in the morgue because they said he's dead. And she said, no, God promised me my son when he was a baby. And she went out and cried. And that man, he went into eternity, and he had an experience, you see, but he was allowed to come back, hallelujah, because God had promised what. I don't understand all about it, but I heard the man's testimony told about it, how he saw hell and he saw heaven, and God let him come back, and the man was saved, and he's giving his testimony today. Hallelujah. I mean, we need to hold on what God promises us. Amen. She refused to go look at the body because she said, no, God told me that he'd be redeemed, he'd be saved. Hallelujah. And so right here, this woman, praise the Lord, she was not afraid. There was no fear of them. How many know people are afraid of tribulation?
No.
I said, people are afraid. In the old order of things, you know, people say, well, you just can't make it. You can't live through it. Well, I believe God's going to bring a lot of people through it.
Amen.
And I believe we're already in some tribulation. How about you? Some kind.
Amen.
Amen? If I'm not, then it's just something in my head, I guess. But I believe I'm going through a few things here and there. Amen. How many know if you're going to press into God, you're going to go through things? You're going to know testings. Remember when I was here before, or several times ago, I told you the five ways you're tested. You're tested by your failures. And everyone has failed in this room somehow. Isn't that right? We're tested by our successes. I mean, the prodigal had some inheritance, and it took him away from God. Isn't that right? How many know that it's dangerous to have a lot of things of God and just live the way you want to? Amen? And number three, you're tested in the furnace of affliction, Isaiah 48:10 tells us. And then four, God withdraws our consciousness of His presence. How many know at times you pray and it doesn't seem like God's hearing, God's seeing, God's around, but He is. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
And number five, God will leave some of the enemy in your land to see what you and I are going to do about it. And believe me, we got some enemy in our land that we got to kick out. Like our brother Steve said, that, you know, every time he ministers, there's some kind of deliverance. But we need deliverance. Salvation means deliverance. Isn't that right? People say, I don't believe in deliverance. Well, they don't believe in salvation then. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, turn to Acts 28. Thank you, Jesus. Acts 28. Now, how many know that there's a beast in all of us that we have to deal with? And I don't want to magnify the beast, but nevertheless, he's there, and we have to deal with him. Paul said, I die daily, and I think if Paul died daily, I imagine we'll have to, too. We should, don't you? If we're going to go where Paul went. In Acts 28, verse 1, when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita. I think the word Melita means honey, I think. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us every one because of the present rain and because of what? Cold. It was winter time, evidently. A present rain, present cold. So it was probably winter time. And of course, how many know there's winter somewhere around the world at all times? It may be summer here in Arkansas, but somewhere around the world it's winter. Isn't that right? And when it gets cold here, it's somewhere, it's summer in all the world. But right here, Paul had come to this island. The ship had been wrecked, and all the men had been spared because they did exactly what the angel Lord had told Paul. And so there was a present rain and a present cold. We know that was a natural rain, that was a natural cold. But we know there's also a rain of the Holy Ghost as well. Isn't that right? And how many know when you're cold, you need a rain from the Holy Ghost? Amen? Now, verse 3, Paul gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire. Now, notice he didn't just throw the sticks, he laid them on the fire. How many know that Paul was an apostle? Do you believe that? How many know that Paul... Now, this was natural sticks. How many know the humanity, what is humanity in Scripture? You ever said of the tabernacle? How many know the boards there are a type of the body of Christ? The boards in the holy place and the holy of holies. We won't go into that. There's quite a teaching there. But the boards are 48 boards are there. And it's a type of the... Here, Paul, it said, gathered this these sticks. And he laid them on the fire. Now, I believe there's ministry arising that's not on the fire. But I believe they're putting people in the fire, too. They'll hear the word God's given them. Do you believe that, too? Amen. And so right here, Paul is laying the sticks in the fire. And notice there came out of the fire, what? A viper. When is this happening? It's happening when it's cold and when the rain's falling. And so here comes a viper out of the fire, right? Of the heat. And fastened where? Onto his hand. Now we know the hand can represent the ministry. Isn't that right? Apostles, come on, help me. Prophet, teacher, shepherds, and evangelists. Isn't that right? And so here comes the viper out of the heat and latches on to the hand. Notice he didn't just bite him. I mean, he took a hold. Well, how many know the viper would like to destroy the hand ministries? Isn't that right? Sure would. So Paul laid the sticks on the fire, and out of the fire comes a viper. How many know when you get in the fire, out of you comes a viper many times? That beast that's within you. Isn't that right? Sure. Amen. I don't think I'm the only one it's ever happened to. Amen. I hope not. Verse 4. Now, when the barbarians saw this venomous beast, when they saw this beast here hanging on to Paul's hand in verse 4, they said, this man's a murderer. He's escaped the sea and vengeance suffers him not to live. You know, immediately they can condemn him. How many know when you get in the fire, people put you down? Huh? They'll put you down, brethren. They don't always understand you. They'll criticize you and say, you've sinned, you've done this, when you maybe haven't done anything. Amen? But it's sure good to kind of look inside and say, Lord, have I? You know, have I sinned? Have I done something? But, of course, they thought it was a murderer. Now, look at verse 5. He shook off the beast, where? Into the fire and felt no harm. So when the beast comes out, latches on, how many know we got to throw him back in the fire? Only the fire will consume him. Isn't that right, brethren? How many know Jesus, Paul, turn to 2 Thessalonians 2. Let's look at one scripture here. And I believe this applies within as well as without when Jesus comes. You know, in 2 Thessalonians 2, look in verse 8. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his what? Mouth. And shall destroy with the brightness. With the brightness of his parousia. Amen? And so the fire of God, the word of God, is going to slay the beast. It's going to slay him within you. As well as when Christ comes out there, the literal beast and all that's coming, you see. But I believe, hallelujah, you can say, well, I'm dead. Well, that's good. And I can say that too. And we need to say that. But how many know if you quit praying 2 or 3 days, you'll see if he's really dead or not. Isn't that right? How many know when you walk in the Spirit, you can stay on top of him? Isn't that right? And keep him dead. But you get out of the Spirit and you'll see how dead he is. Hallelujah. All right. So, we're talking about winter. We're talking about dealing with the beast. Because that was a natural beast, a natural snake. But there's a beast in us that we have to deal with daily. Praise the Lord. Now, turn to another scripture in Revelation 2. Jesus, let's see what Jesus said to this church in Revelation 2. Hallelujah. In verse 2, you know, this church at Ephesus was so bombarded by the enemy. How many remember in Acts 20 that Paul said to the elders, he said, even among you there shall arise men speaking perversion and seeking men to follow them. Well, how many know that we are Jesus' disciples? Huh? I said we're Jesus' disciples.
Amen.
Amen. Now, in that church, he said, even among the leaders, there would be those who would begin to speak perversion and men. Actually, the Greek says drag men after them. And also, we know there was false ministers had come in. Paul said, I fought with the beast at Ephesus. But look here in chapter 2, verse 1. To the angel, the messenger of the church of Ephesus write, these things hath he that holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. For thou hast tried them. Thou hast tried them which say they are apostles. I think Brother Bell and Brother Jack will agree tonight that not every man that says that they are an apostle are apostles. Or whether it's a prophet or whatever. How many know by their fruit you shall what?
Know
them. Isn't that right, brother? How many know the first sign of an apostle is not the mighty signs and wonders and deeds, but it's patience.
Hallelujah.
Endurance. Well, how many know to be an apostle, the others are going to throw the towel in, but you just keep going on, marching on if you're really an apostle of God and really, you know, have been called by God. Well, how many know testing's just as real to the apostle as it is to anybody else? Isn't that right? Hallelujah. And so here comes in this church those who say, we're apostles. We're sent ones. But it says here, thank God. How many know this early church knew apostles, Brother Jack? They knew what real apostles were. Now, you know, I hear people though today, you know, quickly to say, well, this one's an prophet, this one's an apostle, and so forth. And you know, brethren, I'm not condemning anybody, but I want to tell you something. Be careful, you know, because sometimes those that come around, they want to just take anything they can get from you. Amen? They want to rip you off. Anybody like to be ripped off? No. Amen. And so we have a lot of self-styled apostles and prophets, but yet we have the truth. I believe God is raising up true apostles and true prophets in this hour, don't you, brethren? Amen. Hallelujah. Now, so he said here that you've tried them which say they're apostles and are not, and has found them to be liars. And liars end up in the lake of fire. Isn't that right? All right. Now, he said here, you've had patience for my name's sake, you've labored and not fainted. Verse 4. Now, look what Jesus said. You talking about winter, here it is. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, church. I wonder what he'd say to us tonight, individually and corporately. If we could truly hear the word of the Lord, what would he say in areas in our life? He said, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. Now, God didn't leave them, they left God. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, notice the word fallen, and repent and do the first works, or else, God said, I'll come to you quickly and will remove your candlestick or your lampstand out of its place, except thou repent. Now, how many know Jesus didn't spare any words when he talked to these churches? He gave them the good points. He told them the bad points, and then he said, repent. Isn't that right? Now, let's see why this church was bombarded. Let's see why there was elders doing this thing. Let's see why grievous wolves come in. Let's see why false apostles came in. Let's see. Turn to Ephesians 1. The Bible has an answer. In chapter 1 of Ephesians, look in verse 3. He talks about blessing us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And that's where they are. Verse 4, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before him in love. Verse 5, having predestinated us, here it is, unto the adoption of sons. the word children and son. How many know that? Huiothesia. Unto the adoption of sons by Jesus Christ himself according to the good pleasure of his will. This church was called to the high calling of God, wasn't it, brethren? And how many know anybody that's called to the high calling, you're going to be tested? Isn't that right? Huh? Yeah, you're going to meet up with a false. You're going to meet it with something that's false. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so this church was a high calling church. They were predestinated to be the sons of God. Well, how many know where some of us are predestinated to be the sons of God? Right. Hallelujah. God wants us to grow up to be sons. Isn't that right? I wish I was really there, don't you? I know many say they're there, but they're not there. But hallelujah, there's going to be a people that's going to get there by the grace of God and by the goodness of God. Amen. Then the predestination of God. But it's a people also that choose God and that press out, press into him. I mean, Paul said that he was going to apprehend because he was apprehended. Isn't that right? And we apprehend God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So winter is real in many people's hearts. Now, let's look at a couple of scriptures. Turn to Acts here. A few more scriptures tonight. In Acts 27, I believe it is. We were in 28 a while ago. Let's go back to Acts 27. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Lord, keep us from winter. Now, in chapter 27, look at verse 9. You know, Paul was a prisoner on the ship. But how many know before he got through, he was the captain? You talking about an overcomer, brother? He had overcome. How many know an angel walked in that ship that one day and gave him a word? And nobody else probably heard or saw that angel, but Paul did, like Jack saw that angel tonight. I mean, anybody else see that angel tonight besides Jack here? Well, how many know that's discerning of spirits? Amen. Well, right here, Paul, by the grace of God, gave him a word. But I want to look at verse 9, first of all. And it said here, now when much time was spent, and don't we spend a lot of time sometimes doing nothing? And when sailing was now dangerous. Now, I've studied some on angels, and many times, not all the time, but many times, how many know angels come in time of danger? Oh, yeah. And I'll tell you something else. A lot of times, the gift of faith will work in the time of danger. How many know God can just drop that gift of faith in you, and you be full of faith, and nothing, brother, be no doubt at all, if whatever God's showing you. But here it said it was dangerous. And because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them and said to them, sirs, I perceive something. Now, here's an apostle, and we got to remember he's among the heathen. There was some, I believe some brethren was with him on the ship that was Christians, though. But yet he said here, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading of the ship, but also of our lives. Now, Paul perceived right, didn't he? Paul had discerning within. It wasn't just speculation out of the top of his head, but he knew from within that something was ahead. And how many know sometimes we just don't hear again properly? Amen? Huh? Yeah. One time I pulled out of a shopping center and the Lord said left and I went right. And got in a little mess down the street and I turned right. But I've learned from then on that the Lord helped me to, when I hear that voice, to do what you tell me. Praise the Lord. How many know we also hear that voice by as we grow in God. Isn't that right? Amen. You know, Jesus just didn't say always the lambs would hear his voice. He said the sheep would hear his voice. Isn't that right? And sheep are those that grow. Now, he said here, look at verse 11. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master, you see, and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. Maybe the guy said, well, the master of the ship, he has much more experience as a, you know, as a head of the ship than what Paul, you know, is claiming to say here. But Paul, of course, was a prisoner. Didn't look too good in the natural, but he'd heard from God, hadn't he? He'd heard from God. So number one, they were probably going by previous experience. How many know sometimes we can do that and we'll miss God? You remember David was anointed by God three times, is that right? The anointing of promise, the anointing of praise, the anointing of power. And God came and promised him to be king through Samuel. And then he was king, what was it, 7 years over Judah under the second anointing. And then he came and he was anointed king over all Israel. The third anointing, the anointing of power. Now under the, I believe the first anointing, he killed a giant, one giant. But in the third anointing, the Bible said all the Philistines came out against him. You remember that? How many know he went up and killed them? And then the enemy came again. Same enemy, same place. But how many know David didn't say, well, Lord, I'll take it? No, he didn't. How many know we can get in trouble by doing that? Well, Lord, I've had experience in this. I know how to do it. But God may not want you to do it the way you did it before.
Amen.
Amen. And he didn't do it. He did the way God said do it. And he slew the enemy. How many know the anointing means to pour over? It means to smear on and rub in. If you pour over, you're going to lose a lot. If you smear it on, you're going to lose some. But brother, when you rub it in, you're going to keep it. Amen? How many know God wants to rub it in? That's a good way. Now, so the master had experience before, and they believed the master over Paul, the apostle of God, who's hearing from God. Amen? Now, look at verse 12. It says here, and because the haven was not commodious to winter in, do you hear that? To winter in. How many know if we look at things in the natural, we'll sure miss God many times. Because our flesh will say, boy, you know, this ain't right. Get out of here. We've got to start moving. Do something. Isn't that right? And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also. Now, the majority is not always right. In fact, most of the time they're not right. Isn't that right? I mean, one of the things people say to you about Sonship, well, there's not very many people in it. Amen? Especially if you look at a lot of the Sonship churches, a lot of them are small churches. Isn't that right? But hallelujah, God can be smack dab in it in just a few. And I don't mean that we should just settle for a few. I believe God's going to bring a lot of people in the kingdom of this house. Isn't that right? All right, now notice here, the more part advised to depart, if by any means they might attain to Phoenice, and there to winter, which is in the haven of Crete, and lies towards the southwest and the northwest. So let me go over this again. Number one, they were going probably by previous experience of this master. Number two, there was some carnal desires. Let's get out of this place. Let's move on. And let me just throw this in. People don't like to be, they don't like inconvenience. Amen? How many know even in the will of God, we don't like it? Our flesh. Isn't that right? Now, I realize these people are lost people here. But I'm still looking at something. Praise the Lord. And the majority is not always right. They rejected the spiritual mind. Now, even the elements witness against what Paul said. Look in verse 13. And when the south wind blew softly. I mean, man, in the natural, it looked good. It was completely opposite of what Paul said. He said, I perceive, brethren, that this journey is going to be dangerous, not only the ship, but our lives. Amen?
Hallelujah. You can't go by what you see, what you hear, what you feel always, can you?
Isn't that right? But it said the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, losing fence, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclodon. And that wind's blowing in every direction.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. But it didn't take them long to find out that Paul wasn't too wrong. I mean, he was right. And they was wrong. Amen. Now, look at verse 27 in that chapter. Hallelujah. Oh, God. When the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down the Adria, about what? How many know midnight's coming? Now, we saw winter in the first few verses, didn't we? Now, Jesus talked about winter, and he talked about tribulation. And right here, he said, in this verse, 27, that it was about midnight, the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country, and sounded and found it 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. Verse 29. Then fearing lest we should have fallen upon the rocks, they cast forth anchors out of the stern, wished for the day. You ever wish for the day? Ever wish for the sunshine? Huh? Yes, sir. Coming out of a dark night. How many know midnight's dark, brother? And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down their boat to the sea under the color, as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion soldiers, except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. Then the soldiers, now look at this, cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take some meat. Now, what am I saying? I'm telling you, we've seen winter and we've seen midnight. And now, at this time, what are they doing? They're cutting the ropes off of the boats off and letting them go off from the ship. Otherwise, there's no escape hatch. Amen? How many know God's cutting some escape hatches off? Many have thought we're going to fly out of here any minute. But how many know God's beginning to show some of us that we're not going to do it? Amen? Hallelujah. No escape. Everything is being cut off. They're throwing things overboard. Hallelujah. How many know God's telling us to throw some things overboard? Get some deliverance, whatever. Amen? And every escape mechanism and route there is, I believe, will be cut off in the natural in this hour. And God's going to show you and me that it's His strength that's going to bring us through. Hallelujah. It's going to be Him that's going to bring us through. It's not going to be of our ability. Can you say amen to that? Amen. I really believe that. Now, look in Psalms 148. I want to give you a scripture here about a storm. How many know we blame the storms on a lot of people, different ones. But in Psalms 148, and I certainly believe the devil can come at you with storms too. But in Psalms 148, look at verse 8. Notice the scripture. Fire and hail. Fire and hail. And what else? I mean, no, it's winter time. Fire and hail, snow and vapor, stormy wind, fulfilling His word. So maybe you've been in a storm lately. Maybe God's beginning to cut some things off. Maybe you and I wouldn't listen to others that try to warn us. But God said, fire, hail, snow, vapor, stormy wind, fulfilling His word. Yes. Notice His word. Now look over in chapter 147. I mean, we said a while ago, without a blow, there's no flow. Isn't that right? Yes. How many remember that Moses smote the rock and there came a flow out of the rock? Yes. Now look in chapter 147. We're talking about winter now. Verse 15. He sends forth His commandment upon the earth. His word runneth very swiftly. I mean, His word can reach to you in your trouble. He giveth snow like wool. He scattereth the hoarfrost like ashes. He casteth forth His ice like morsels. Who can stand before His cold? Well, only those, I believe, that's clothed with scarlet. Hallelujah. We saw that in Proverbs, didn't we? He sendeth out His word and melts them. He causes His wind to blow. And what? The waters begin to flow when there's a blow. Amen. Hallelujah. So I'm telling you tonight, brethren, winter is coming for many. Amen. And I want to be prepared for winter. Now, I want to give you a couple scriptures in closing. I could go on and on. I got so much here. How many know the opposite of winter or cold is fire? Isn't that right? Or heat? How many know the heat glows, spreads, illuminates, consumes, and energizes? We've said this before, and I'll say it again. God doesn't want us just to be in the fire, next to the fire. We must become fire. Isn't that right? And in Revelation, it says of the two witnesses, fire comes out of their mouth. Remember that? And consumes the enemy. And that fire is not a natural fire, but it's the Word and the Spirit of God. And Jeremiah talked about that fire in his bones, shut up in his bones. There was so much fire in Elisha's bones. They threw the dead man in on top of his bones. Remember, he was raised up, in his natural body there. Praise the Lord. And God wants us to be on fire. I believe each one tonight in this room, we should all check our hearts and see where we are. How many know that Jesus said to the last church, He said to the ones that said, we have, you know, the goods. We have everything, but we have need of nothing. And He said, you're wretched. But He said one other word. He said, you're miserable. Yes. You know, there are Christians that are miserable tonight because they're losing out with God. And, you know, they're living in the middle row or the fence line.
They said, you're wretched, you're miserable, and you're poor, and you're blind, and you're naked. You remember that?
Yes.
And then I'm thinking of Matthew 22, when there was a man came into the wedding, and he did not have a wedding garment on. Remember that? And the Lord said, take him hand and feet, throw him out into outer darkness. Hallelujah. We've got to have on a wedding garment. And he said to that last church age, which I believe is the age we're living in, that they were naked. And I don't want to be found naked, do you? I don't want to lose my garment. I don't want to lose my crown. But I want to be on fire for God. Hallelujah. Amen. And I mean, I want to have the true fire. I don't want anything false. I mean, when the true fire in fell in Leviticus 9, there in Leviticus 9, the people, it says, fell on their face and worshiped God. And then Aaron's two sons, you remember, they tried to conjure up and they brought forth the wildfire, the strange fire. You know, people say, well, I don't have some wildfire or no fire. No, you don't want to bring forth wildfire or strange fire. Jesus said false Christ would come at the end of the age. That's false anointings. We don't want a false anointing. We want the true anointing. Amen? How many know we've got to hate iniquity? The Bible said we overcome evil by good. And Jesus went about doing good and healing all those oppressed of the devil. And God anointed him above his fellows with the oil of gladness. Isn't that right? But what was the secret? Because it says he hated iniquity and he loved righteousness. And I believe as we begin to love righteousness and begin to hate lawlessness first in our life. I mean, I can't hate it in you before I hate it in me. I've got to hate it in me first, brother. I've got to see it in me before I can see it in you. Hallelujah. But the Bible said he was anointed above. And I believe he's going to anoint some brethren in this hour because they hate sin. They hate iniquity. And you know the thing that God hates, we need to hate. Can you say amen?
Amen.
So, brethren, tonight I believe God's saying to us, if you're in winter, come up higher. Hallelujah. Tribulation's coming. Trouble's coming. Affliction's coming. And you know, people think that the last 5 minutes they can get ready and be prepared. But I got news for them. They can't. We've got to stay ready. We've got to stay as the old saying is on the firing line. And we've got to stay in prayer and in tune with God. Isn't that right, brother? And I mean it. We've got to stay on fire for our God. Bless your heart. Let's stand. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Father, we love you tonight, Lord. God, I pray tonight, Lord, if there's some here tonight that's cold or lukewarm, that the Holy Spirit would touch them tonight afresh and anew, Lord. God, we ask that you would reach out to them. Anyone tonight that's cold and indifferent or backslid, Lord, or even doesn't know you, Lord, we pray for them. And we ask the power of the Lord to reach into them and to minister to them tonight. I want every head bowed just a minute. And I wonder if there's some here tonight would raise your hand and would say, I'm cold or lukewarm. And I'd like God to touch me tonight. Would you raise your hands? Praise the Lord. Raise your hands. Let me see them. Hallelujah. Anyone here tonight? Okay. One, I see that. Anybody else? Praise the Lord. Okay, I see that. Anyone else? Yes, amen. Anyone else? Hallelujah. Amen. Anybody else? Amen. Anybody else? Thank you, I see that. Praise the Lord. Anyone else tonight? Praise God. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I usually don't do this, but tonight I think I will. Those that raise your hand, come and let us minister to you. Would you do that? We're not here to embarrass you. We want to minister to you. Come right on up. God wants to touch you tonight. Let God touch you tonight. Praise the Lord. Amen. If you meant business with God, come right on. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let the Lord touch you tonight. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Reach your hands out to them now as they come. Brother Jack, I'd like for you to walk behind him. Brother Miller, oh, he's not there, is he? Bill? Oh, Brother Steve? So stand behind him as we minister to him here tonight. As we go to different ones, let's, as I go to him, you come behind me, and we'll all pray together. Praise the Lord. You know the Lord?
Yes,
okay,
yes,
but you just got a little cold.
I have good intentions.
Amen.
Not a lot of fellowship.
Amen.
Really you got
Lord, okay. Good.
In the beginning.
Good.
Go ahead.
Good. Well, did you have anything you want to tell him? Okay. Okay. Well, he's
one of the ones.
Okay. well, good. He's going to minister. You're being ministered to then. Let's just believe that. Father, touch her right now. Dear Lord, we ask in Jesus' name that the Holy Spirit would just touch her, Lord, and just, Father, flood her spirit and her soul tonight with your love, Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, we would just cut asunder anything, Lord. And God, by the power of the Holy Ghost, oh, hallelujah. Just, God, flow into her tonight. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, just cleanse her, Lord, and just forgive her. And just, Lord, draw near and nigh. Oh, there it is. Just receive that, sister. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Receive that. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Brother, a little cold in your soul tonight? Is that it? A little cold tonight? Or okay,
Lord, touch him tonight, Lord. Help him to cry out, Lord. Help him to cry out, Lord, unto you now. Lord, forgive him and cleanse him. And God, send an awakening within him, Lord. And lift him up tonight, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Remove the winter. Remove the coldness. Remove the shadow of darkness, Lord. And Lord God, in the lukewarmness, Lord, just touch him tonight. By your spirit and by your glory, we ask in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Same thing for you. Lord, touch our dear sister tonight. Lord, in the name of Jesus. Dear God, we pray the power and the Spirit of God to go through her. Fire burn within her, Lord. Lord, consume the dross. And Lord, just do a mighty work in her, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Touch our sister tonight, Father. Minister to her. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Let the fire of God, the spark of God, the life of God in her, Lord, and move in her and through her, God. We ask it in the name of Jesus, Lord. Amen. And amen. Touch our sister tonight, Father, in the name of Jesus. By the power of the Holy Ghost, Lord, we pray the Spirit and power of God to purge and to heal and deliver her, Lord. Lord, let the fire burn and let the old God rekindle, oh, hallelujah, that spirit again, Lord, afresh and anew in Jesus' name. Touch our sister here tonight, Lord, by the power of the Holy Ghost. Reach into her. Lord, and minister to her, we pray. By the power of the Holy Ghost, cleanse her. And Lord, do a mighty work in her. We bless her. Oh, yes. We bless her, Lord, in Jesus' name.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.